Taste of Ireland with Ireland's Blue Book. A romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
You're very welcome to A Taste of Ireland. And this evening we're coming to you from the beautiful Wineport Lodge, nestled on the shores of Loch Ree here in beautiful Westmead. Ray Byrne, owner of Wineport Lodge, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Ed, and thanks for having me on the show.
I must say, Ray, I've been down for a few days here and I've been travelling around, and so, I mean, Ireland's hidden heartlands, it's really, really true. It's absolutely stunning down here.
Well, I definitely think you brought the weather with you on your trip, so that's always a help. And I think any part of Ireland, it just warms up so much. When the sun comes out, you know, we really know we are in God's country.
What's lovely about here is you give free complimentary mountain bikes, which are very good quality. And I cycled all around the lake, and I was over in Killinure and the forest there in Portlaoise. Is that right?
Portlaoise, yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And it was just really a magical day. And of course, the weather was really nice.
Yeah, and the good thing about the Midlands is, and the Heartlands is, there's not too many hills. So when you do take a bike out, you know, the land is pretty flat. So you'll meet a hill here and there,
yeah.
But it's not mountainous. So even for people who are novice cyclists or who never cycle, you know, that much, it gets them out into the fresh air. You know, and the roads generally, once you go off the main roads, the roads are generally quiet. So it's pretty safe to do so too. If you feel the need, then there's always the fantastic old rail trail that connects up Athlone with Mullingar, and ultimately will connect Dublin and Galway.
Today I went to Clonmacnoise, and which I've always wanted to do, mm-hmm. and with the weather like this, it was just absolutely amazing, beautiful.
And the great thing about Clonmacnoise is there's a link back to Wineport Lodge with Clonmacnoise, because Clonmacnoise, you know, the founder patron of Clonmacnoise was Saint Ciarán, and when you're coming out from Athlone to Wineport Lodge, you come to a little place called Ballycearán, which is Balia Ciarán, or the home of Ciarán, or the way of Ciarán. And then you come out, you know, another mile or so, and you hit Wineport Lodge. And Wineport is actually the townland name where we're situated. And we had the local librarian do some research into, you know, the townland name of Wineport. Because the people who live here, their address is Wineport Lodge, or Wineport Athlone is their address. And it goes back to St. Ciarán's time, and the monks and Clonmacnoise, and the, I suppose, all that calligraphy they were doing and all that monastical work they were doing. In order to fuel, the creativity, they used to bring wine from France. And this was, you know, going back to the 6th century. It was a long, long time ago. And the wine would come over in barrels across the sea, and they'd get as far as Limerick. But to get it up into the Midlands where Clonmacnoise and the monasteries were, they'd have to put it on smaller boats and come up to Shannon. And it must have been a very arduous job. But where we are, you know, we're on a little inner lake off the main Loch Ree. So it's quite sheltered and it's quite peaceful. And it was somewhere where they could land the barrels. So it became known as Wineport as a result.
When you saw here, I mean, where did you first get the idea, wow, this could be something very special?
Yeah, it's interesting. My wife, my partner at the time, my wife now, Jane, and I, we had started off a small kind of cafe-type business in Tyrrell's Pass, which is, you know, on the way from Dublin down to Galway, or down to Athlone. And her mum, Dorothy, and her mum's partner had the site here at Wineport, and they were looking to do something. They were always into boating. My mother-in-law grew up as the lock keeper's daughter in Athlone, so they're very connected with the Shannon, and they wanted to do a kind of a sailing-y boating type venture, and we got pulled into it to do the kind of the hospitality side of it. So, you know, it was a great opportunity to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. I mean, it started out here. You started out as a restaurant, is that right?
It started out as a restaurant, which was really kind of an adjunct to a kind of a sailing centre business. We teamed up with a very good chef who was from County Westmeath, from Mullingar, Therese Gilsonan, and she had been cooking in a place in South Tipperary in Clochjordan called the Fox's Den, kind of a well-known country house place, and she wanted to get a bit back near her home. But, you know, like to what you were saying, you know, in Wineport Lodge, when we arrived out and we, you know, we looked at the lake and we looked at the setting, you know, we said, like, it is a lovely place, but you know, how are we going to get people out here, and how will people find it? And the year we opened was the same year that the golf course opened in Glasson. You know, that the Reid family opened it, and it's now been recently acquired by the Pressup Group. It really put Glasson on the map, and, you know, the idea of Glasson and its connections with Athlone. And straight away, people started to take a bit more notice. And we built a business on that basis.
In terms of, I mean, we could just talk a minute, I suppose, about your own story, really, in terms of hospitality.
Yep.
I mean, you're involved with the Enhance Group and you're involved in a number of other projects as well, aren't you?
Sure. Like after we were here probably about 10 years or so, you know, I was always kind of intrigued and I suppose always a bit fidgety, you know, to see, you know, the success that we've built up here. You know, was it a one-off thing or could it be replicated or could you take elements of the ethos or the customer service and could you apply those elsewhere to the same degree of success? And around that time in the noughties, you had, you know, people were looking to develop tourism products. And like some of it was fueled undoubtedly by tax breaks and you had people coming in who were looking for a tax break, but they didn't know anything about hospitality necessarily. So there was two particular projects I got involved with at the time. They were both kind of boutique hotels. One was on the grounds of Ashford Castle, which was Lislockery House, which we call Lislockery Lodge, and it went on to become the Lodge at Ashford. It's a spectacular, I suppose, sister hotel to Ashford Castle. And the second property was the Ice House in Ballina. And again, you know, you had a very successful business person who wanted to do something, you know, hotel-wise. Pierce Farrell from, you know, an accountancy background. We had a mutual friend who introduced us. So Pierce was very happy to provide the finance as long as I was happy to provide the expertise. And so the Enhance management business grew out of that, I suppose, initial spark of, you know, could you expand the business model and do it elsewhere? And that has kind of become an eclectic business where, you know, we're happy, you know, I have a small team of people. You know, we're happy to manage properties, we're happy to buy them, we're happy to refurbish them, or we're happy to advise on them.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting because you'll find a lot of people talk about, you know, the secret of success. Mm-hmm. And I suppose everyone has their own idea. But for yourself, I mean, if you were to be asked that question, you know,
sure,
what makes a successful proper business in terms of in this business that you're in?
Yeah, I suppose it's two things. You know, you got to have good people. So that's, you know, first and foremost, you know, that's the team you put together and the people you work with. You know, and that's a big challenge, you know, and you have to, you know, you get good people, I suppose, by being good to them. And the second thing is, I think you have to put yourself in the customer's shoes. So if I was that customer, how would I like that served, or how would I like the room to look, or how would I like the menu to read? And I think if you put yourself in the customer's shoes and you're in hospitality, you won't go too far wrong.
I mean, you know, everyone is staycationing now at the moment. It's an ill wind, I suppose, isn't it? Because we've been through, we putting it mildly, right, we've been through something of a bit of a mill. But for yourself, how has it been?
Well, of course, like the whole staycation and the restrictions and the, you know, the non-overseas travel thing, like it's probably been the best thing ever for the domestic hospitality market outside of the cities and primarily outside of Dublin. Like certainly last year, I used the time, and everyone else used the time, to explore the West Corks and the West Clares and the Donegals, that, you know, places we knew were there and we knew were fabulous, but we hadn't been down to them. And like those places had an amazing season. It was a bit truncated last year, and you know what we're seeing, they're certainly geared up for a great season this year too. And people are beginning to explore the cities again too. So like Dublin isn't the disaster it was last year. It's not great, you know, and the other provincial cities around the country are doing okay. So, like, for a small country that would depend a lot on inbound tourism, we're making the most of it. And I suppose, you know, what we have to thank Ed is, you know, that the Irish consumer, if they have a few quid in their pocket, they love going out and spending it.
Absolutely. It's funny about you say there about cities and where we are, because I know a lot of the coast. I mean, there was a lot of stuff about self-catering and prices,
sure,
going up and all that. But here, just if we were talking again a bit about what's on offer here, mm-hmm, just quickly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is something people that, you know, haven't been, as I said to you now, because we're all sort of staying at home a lot more. And I think you'll probably find as well, people are going away now for like longer times, obviously, and especially when there's water involved, I think, as well. And that's what's great about here, isn't it?
Sure, but there is still a case, Ed, even despite, you know, having come through the lockdown and everything else, like people are still somewhat time poor, you know, because they're pressurised between work, family, different commitments. So like a lot of the people do come for a night. And like we do like to say, listen, you know, if you want to cycle or play golf or go out on the lake or go walking or, you know, we can help you with all those activities. We can, you know, we can fit you in and we can find ways for you to do them. But like if you want to do nothing, that's okay too. And like for some people to be get permission to do nothing is great. So it's a nice place to chill out. There's, you know, in around Wineport Lodge, there's plenty of indoor seating, outdoor seating. You know, there's relaxation space. You can find a little nook somewhere, you know, outside of your room or outside of your balcony, and you can sit, you can commune with yourself, you can have a cup of coffee, and it's, if you want to explore, lots to see. You know, the town of Athlone has a lot going for it, and the surrounding area. And you mentioned Clonmacnoise, and there's a sister project to Clonmacnoise, which is the Corley Bog, I suppose, a walkway in County Longford, where they discovered, you know, when they were excavating the bog, a trackway that would have gone ultimately, you know, from east of Ireland to west of Ireland. So it would have been, you know, the N7 of its day or the M4 of its day, you know, obviously with car tracks and whatever. And they found this road, and it was a well-built road, you know, which had sunken into the bog over hundreds of years. And you can go there and they can tell you the story of it. So there's lots to see.
The style of the building here is lovely. It's almost sort of Scandinavian in a way.
Sure.
But it's really relaxing.
Yeah, it sits in, you know, so the building itself, it's no higher than two-storey, and it's cedar clad. So, you know, the great thing about cedar is it wears, it ages. So, like, so, you know, some of it has a few splinters coming out, and some of it's gone a bit faded, and some of it, you know, might be, you know, in need of a lick of something, a bit of oil or something. And by the time you get to one end, you nearly have to kind of start back at the other end. So we're not trying to be too pristine. It's a bit like, I suppose, the gardening concept now. People aren't looking for mould, tight lawns. They're letting the wildness grow up around it a bit. And we're happy to kind of, you know, that the building sits beside the lake. And, you know, it's comfortable in itself. And when you're out on the water, you could look back in and you see, oh, that building really suits that spot.
Lough Ree, of course, itself, I mean, there are so many. I mean, just in terms of people on the boats coming and going, there's so much you can do there. People kayaking, canoeing. I mean, it really is. It's a kind of an aqua-lover's paradise, isn't it?
Sure. And we've been slow generally in Ireland to do that. Like, there has been, you know, there's been, you know, flotels and, you know, floating hotels over the years. There's been the typical, the Emerald Star type cruise holiday, which is a great holiday. But there wasn't much variation on that. So I suppose what you are seeing now, you know, the simplest thing of all, you know, what you're seeing now is a lot of swimming. So people, you know, are quite happy to go out and jump into a lake, go down the jetty, you know, bring the robes down, bring the towels down and jump in. And just to get close to nature, it's just a great experience for people. So, like, you have that, and then you have, you know, the stuff that doesn't have engines, like you propel yourself, like the kayaking or the paddle boarding. You know, getting up to sailing, getting up to lake boating, and getting into those kind of higher cruisers that you can spend a couple of nights on.
The fishing here, of course, will probably come back again when travel resumes. I mean, people from Russia coming here for pike and for trout.
Sure.
And, you know, it was a huge business, of course.
Sure, and that fishing market, again, you know, it was always got that kind of Germanic type market that they would come. And sometimes the UK market would come on fishing as well. And it was a specific thing. Again, you know, it's something that's probably just not as cool as it used to be. You know, fishing would probably go through that cycle. And also, I suppose, you know, if the market was that Germanic market, and what we found was, even since the 90s, as Eastern Europe opened up, you know, you had great fishing rivers and great fishing places, that those they were shut off for many, many decades, you know, to the Germans and to the Western Europeans. But now they're open up, now they're open for tourism. So, you know, people don't necessarily have to hop on a plane to Ireland to take a cruise or to fish. They can actually get, you know, pack up their car in Hamburg and drive off to Eastern Europe.
Well, that brings us along nicely to your first choice of music this evening, Ray. What have you picked for us?
We've picked a lovely track by Joan Armatrading, which I'll probably dedicate to my wife, Jane, who's a big Joan Armatrading fan, which is Show Some Emotion.
A Taste of Ireland with Ireland's Blue Book, a romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine
106.8. You're very welcome back to A Taste of Ireland. And my guest this evening is the owner of Wineport Lodge, Ray Byrne. And we're down here nestled on the shores of Loch Ree in glorious sunshine, Ray. Could you believe it? Isn't it a great country?
It's always gloriously sunny here, Ed.
I know, it's not just on Sunshine Radio. But Ray, you've done some very interesting things there. I was reading your bio that you sold toilet rolls in Mead Street Market, Aran sweaters around the B&Bs, and you did a lot of things. But the one thing in common is you learned quickly that you have a good bit of talent in selling.
I did, yeah. And I suppose, you know, for people listening in that, you know, it's not all, you know, hospitality, you know, you can go and you can train, you know, whether it's hospitality or whether it's the financial services or whether it's medical or any sector. And like some people are suited to the idea of, you know, going through a formal training program. And some people aren't, and I suppose, you know, that's the great thing about the world, people are different. And when I finished, you know, my schooling, my leaving cert in Greenhills College, you know, a good comprehensive school, you know, just the thought of going into university or third level, it didn't have a particular appeal to me. I just wanted to get out and start working. And I reckoned, you know, if I went out and got a job, you know, compared to my peers, you know, I'd be kind of 3 years ahead in the money stakes, you know, when they would be coming out of college. Now, you know, listen, I didn't work out. They might have been coming out, you know, with a much better qualification and much better salary prospects than I had. But, you know, I fancied myself in that kind of, you know, customer-facing space. And so anything that was involving, you know, the selling, and it wasn't a problem for me, was the toilet rolls or iron sweaters or whatever was kind of the current thing. And it's always good for anybody to get, you know, immersed in that culture. And it's the same way, you know, when we take on people here in Wineport Lodge, you know, for the summer job, you know, it doesn't matter what they want to do. If they can get, you know, a bit of experience waiting tables or polishing glasses behind the bar or making beds or helping out in the kitchen or washing the pots, it's just a good, you know, you're getting all kinds of human contact, and it gives you good interaction skills. And that's what I suppose the selling did for me. I ended up, you know, with, you know, I suppose working with a company in sales, which was a cheese company, and called Traditional Cheese Company. And I suppose, you know, it was through the cheese business that kind of started my journey into hospitality.
Cheese, of course, would be a strange way. You'd be wondering, how did you come from that to this?
Sure,
but I suppose
sure.
It's the same sort of skills in a way, isn't
sure.
it?
Sure, and my customers, you know, when I was selling cheese, you know, you know, you're from County Cork, so you'd know a lot of the really good cheeses come from County Cork, and you had all sorts of, you know, liaisons. You had, you know, Dutch men coming over and taking the Irish farmers' daughters and bringing it back, kind of cheese-making, you know, idea with them, and you had, you know, I suppose, you know, anything that was, you know, using up surplus milk at that time, if it went outside the quota, you had to do something with it. So a lot of the innovative farmers were making cheese. So, you know, they needed to find a market for it. And the company I worked for, you know, was set up to kind of sell, I suppose, artisan cheeses. So my customer was the chef. So typically, you know, my job after driving down to Skull or somewhere to collect the cheese and load up the van, like a lot of the customers were in Dublin, a lot of the market was in Dublin, there was a little bit of export. But, you know, if you saw a nice hotel or a restaurant on your way back, you know, to try and cover the cost of the diesel, you know, you'd often go in, you know, and try and sell them some cheese. And, you know, that company was Corrine O'Connor and Eugene Carr, that was their traditional cheese company. So when I was working with them, you know, to get hold of the chef, you couldn't go in at 8 o'clock in the morning. You had to meet the head chef, you know, who made the decisions, and they weren't there cooking the breakfast. So typically, you know, to meet the head chef, you'd have to go in at maybe, it could be 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And, you know, there's flames coming out of the pan. There's people roaring and shouting and running around the place. And I thought, geez, these people are having a whale of a time. This is much more fun than driving around the country in a refrigerated van.
Yeah, I know. I used to sell school tours at one stage in my life, right? And I was up every morning. So a very, because sort of similar kind of concept, but very interesting how you were saying there that you did a business startup course, and then, you know, you got the skills from mm-hmm. that was sent to you. And then when did you make the leap?
So we made the leap, I suppose, at the time. So I was working away with the cheese company, and Jane, my wife, you know, had studied science in Trinity College and had qualified, but didn't particularly like it, and ended up working in a poker club in Dublin, very late nights. So I would be typically, you know, getting up for work in the morning and Jane might be coming home. And that was grand, but I just thought if we could do something where the two of us might be in the same time zone, it could be fun. And, you know, having seen these chefs and having this whale of a time, I thought there could be something in that. Now, if you gave me water, a saucepan and an egg, I couldn't boil an egg. But I thought, if you had a restaurant, you get all these chefs and they would cook this lovely food, you know, for the customers and for myself. So we kind of set out, you know, casually, you know, to look for a business. And that's how we ended up in Tyrrell's Pass initially.
And now, I mean, you've built up quite a portfolio now, haven't you?
We have, yeah, built up quite a portfolio. And it changes all the time. You know, it's definitely an eclectic mix. Along with my business partner, Owen Doyle from Brook Lodge Hotel in Wicklow, we've kind of put a portfolio together. So we have a lovely little hotel in Kilkenny called the Kilkenny Inn in Kilkenny City. And we have a beautiful country house hotel called the Eccles Hotel in Glengariff. In West Cork. And one of the projects we're working on at the moment, we're opening next month in Cork City. It's really a micro hotel, or there's no really such categorization as a micro hotel, but what it really is somewhere you can stay, you know, that isn't a hostel. So you all get your own room and your own ensuite, but the room's very small, it's central. You drop your bags, I meet you downstairs in the bar in 10 minutes, and we're heading out on the town.
Yeah, that's not the Dean anyway.
It's not the Dean. It's down the road from the Dean, and our one is called Rez.
Oh, very good.
So we're not trying to be necessarily as cool as the Dean, but we're going to offer great value and it'll be a bit of fun.
Yeah, but that's brilliant because Cork has come on in leaps and bounds, of course, over the years as well. I mean, it really has a lot to offer, hasn't it?
Well, you're probably biased, but certainly even from a non-Cork person, I absolutely love Cork and I would go and live in Cork in the morning. East Cork, West Cork or in the city centre, and I think Cork City just has a great buzz about it.
I am biased, yeah, it does, and the very good sense of humour as well.
And good looking.
Yeah. And then the Queen's and Dalkey, Ray, is another addition, isn't it?
The Queen's and Dalkey is a new addition. And the coincidence is, I suppose, you know, the Eccles Hotel in West Cork dates back to 1745, and totally coincidentally, the Queen's Pub and Dalkey is from the same year. So you're looking at businesses that are hundreds of years old. So, you know, in one sense, you're buying a business, but in another sense, you're practically a custodian and passing it on. And the great thing about the Queen's and Dalkey is, you know, that it's so embraced by the community in Dalkey, and really, you know, they take it to their hearts. And the Queen's, like Dalkey, is a super village with a lovely community atmosphere. It's a lovely town because it's bigger than a village. And the Queen's is essentially the heart of Dalkey Village. So it's next door to the Heritage Centre and the castle. You know, it has a great history. It's the first place that the restaurant show was filmed in, back in John Sheehan's time. The person who was selling it, Tom Mulcahy, who's formerly chief executive of AIB Bank and executive chairman of Aer Lingus, he bought it as a retirement project, and eventually he did decide to retire many, many years later. So the opportunity came along. And we could see huge potential there. And maybe, you know, down the road, we haven't explored it fully yet. But it would be nice to do something like a little boutique hotel. And there's space to do it there at the back.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few bob in Dalkey as well, so hopefully that'll all work.
A few bob, absolutely, yeah.
The restaurant you mentioned there, the TV show, of course, that was fantastically filmed here.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, what did that bring? I mean, lots of exposure, obviously.
I'll tell you what it brought, Ed, really. I would say the restaurant show kept us alive during the big crash, that 2008 crash, because, you know, we had got to a stage at that stage, you know, when we had, you know, borrowed and built on and added on, and we just got up to, you know, almost 30 rooms. And I suppose, you know, just when the crash came, we had borrowed up to the hilt. So it was a tricky time, and it was a tricky time for everybody in hospitality. And really, you know, it was so important to keep people coming through the door. And how are you going to do that? And the best way at that time we found to do it was, you know, if people saw you on the telly. And like a day wouldn't go by without somebody coming in saying, is this where they film the restaurant show? And is John Healy working tonight? And is Stephen in the kitchen? And of course, you know, they were the travelling show that made up the restaurant show. They weren't the staff of here at all. But people used to just love to come in, take the photograph. And obviously it was a constant reminder during those kind of 6 or 7 tough years that, you know, where is this place, you know, Wineport Lodge, where the restaurant is filmed and it's by the lake, and we'll explore that place and we'll seek it out. You know, I would say it just gave us enough recognition that we just about managed to eke out, you know, through those tough years.
I read where you were saying it's really about just keeping everything together when you're in a situation like that, when there's downturns, and I suppose...
Sure. And where can we cut back? And, you know, I think, you know, what's probably got business generally and hospitality through the whole COVID thing is that a lot of people who have been come through the COVID thing were around during that kind of 07, 08 downturn. You know, and they managed to cut out, you know, the waste in their business, and they managed to shop around for the cheaper electricity and the better insurance policy, you know, and they managed to keep enough staff together, you know, to keep the business going. And what we noticed during that big downturn was that the demand didn't drop all that much. People still wanted to celebrate, you know, Mary's birthday or a family celebration, you know, but they had less money to do it. So, you know, we had to charge less, and when they would come, they would spend less. But, you know, they weren't put off. They'd become used to, you know, eating and drinking and dining and celebrating, and they wanted to keep that going.
That brings us along nicely to your second choice of music this evening.
A lovely track by Ry Cooder called I Think It's Gonna Work Out Fine.
A Taste of Ireland with Ireland's Blue Book. A romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine, 106.8. Sunshine, 106.8.
You're very welcome back to A Taste of Ireland. I'm Ed Finn, and we're down here in Wineport Lodge, and I'm here with the owner, Ray Byrne, having a lovely chat, sitting on the shores of Loch Ree with the sunshine, and it's absolutely beautiful. I have to say, Ray, I had the most fabulous mussels last night here, and John Dory, which you don't get everywhere, and you had Pickpool wine from Pinnay on the menu, and it was just a treat. Now, the food is a big part of your whole operation here, isn't it?
The food is a big part, and I suppose, Ed, what's really, I suppose, improved in the time we've been here, over the years we've been here, is, you know, the quality of the produce, it really is second to none. I know we were all travelling a lot, certainly pre-COVID, and, you know, you could take a view that, you know, that, say if you went to France, for example, like, was that kind of French reputation for good food, you know, was it still there even outside the cities? You know, in Italy, the same thing, were they really making the authentic, you know, Italian cuisine when you went away, when you experienced it? But, like, I think in Ireland, we've definitely gone better and better all the time. And I suppose what's come out of the whole COVID thing as well is, you know, the outdoor dining, the food trucks, you know, getting that kind of immediacy of getting it on the pan and getting it out. You know, like, a lot of our food anyway in Wineport would be, you know, when you order the steak goes on the pan. There's nothing, you know, pre-made. So your dinner is cooked fresh, and those mussels are cooked fresh, and the fish is cooked fresh. And I suppose that's what we've seen now in recent years. People are getting, you know, they're getting the best ingredients because they are Irish ingredients and the quality is there. And you have, you know, all those, I suppose, supports, you know, from the likes of Bord Bia, you know, to encourage, you know, the quality of production. So you get the good ingredients, you know, you don't have to do very much with them.
I love that about your menu here, actually.
Yep.
It's not fussy. It's very simple. And even when I had this, just the soup, and I know it's a bit hot for soup,
but
I love soup.
Yeah,
right? So
yeah.
The leek and celeriac, and, you know, it's just amazing. And soup, I always think, when you know you're getting a good soup, you know you're in a good place.
It's a good start, isn't it? And, you know, we were talking off air about Conrad Gallagher, you know, the chef, the Irish chef.
Yes.
And, like, you know, when he would get a chef on trial, he would say, fry me an egg. You know, he wouldn't say, cook me a six-course dinner. He'd say, fry me an egg. And that would be the sign. If the chef could do the fried egg, that was a good sign.
Yeah, of course. And your head chef here, Darren Walsh.
Yeah, Darren is a Dub originally, but he's been living in County Westmeath in Mullingar for many years. And his kind of COVID project has been to start rearing his own pigs. Now, I would bet money that these pigs will never see the inside of a slaughterhouse, because I'd say these are the pettiest pigs that have ever managed to come across anybody's field. So Darren lives on a small bit of land in Westmeath. So he has the space to rear some animals. And he's very passionate about food. He's a super guy. He's a nice guy to work with, and nothing is ever a problem. And you know, to be able to say that for a chef is great, because, you know, I have great sympathy for chefs. You know, my theory is, if you put someone in a hot room and shout at them all day, like, it would be very hard to be pleasant. And, you know, the chefs of Ireland have a lot, you know, riding on them in terms of the, you know, what's expected of them and fair play to them.
We're coming out now of, I suppose, what would be an unprecedented time in mm-hmm. terms of for the hospitality. And I guess if you survive this, you could survive anything, really.
True, true. And again, like what's I suppose it's upsetting that we're not seeing people going into cooking. You know, it's not trendy, you know, to, you know, for someone's son or daughter to start off a career in the kitchen. You know, it's a tough life, but it can be incredibly rewarding. And we've seen that, you know, with the successes, the Irish successes that are here in Ireland and the Irish successes that have gone abroad. So, you know, if anything, if we could encourage people, you know, to really look at that as, you know, as a career choice, it would be super.
What motivates you now to keep growing the business, and what the excitement, what keeps the excitement going?
Yeah, I suppose if it is in your nature, Ed, you know, we've always been willing to take risks. You know, even as you get older, you know, you probably should be a bit more tempered about these things. But, you know, we work hard, we try and get things right. And I think if you, you know, anyone in business who does that, you know, you have a fair chance of success. And if you don't succeed and you're willing to just unpack, you know, whatever the issue is and start up again or move on from it. Not everything is going to be successful in business. Like, we've had failures in business and you know, and you learn from them as much as you learn from the success. You know, you probably remember the failures more than you remember the successes.
And of course, you're a member here of the wonderful, prestigious Blue Book, which really is synonymous for a lot of people in that it has certain things that people expect really from a Blue Book member, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a quality to it, Ed. And, you know, your program has been a great supporter of the Blue Book, and certainly that's appreciated, you know, in the Blue Book, which is like a big family. And like all families, it's a big mixture in there. So no two Blue Book places are the same. You know, there's a huge amount of difference between them. So you have everything from, you know, Ahern's in Youghal, which is a lovely pub with good food and rooms, you know, to Ballyfin in County Leash, which is just, you know, a spectacular, you know, luxurious palace to stay in. So you have a lot of variety there. But I suppose what ties all those kind of, you know, invisible threads together, you know, is the ethos that the Blue Book people have. And that's really about, you know, an authentic experience and, you know, and I suppose a huge focus on the guest. Mm. You know, and I suppose, you know, the great thing about the Blue Book is, you know, how it works is, you know, in terms of new members coming on board, you know, you can't just simply, you know, write in and say, listen, I want to be in the Blue Book. You know, you can apply, but, you know, essentially you must be invited. And to be invited, you know, the committee of the Blue Book, which is like the board, you know, would do inspections. And ultimately, all these potential members go in front of a ballot, you know, and the wider membership have to vote in the place. So it's a bit like the Academy Awards. You're being voted on by your peers. And if you are invited into the Blue Book, it's a great family to be in. And like, we joined the Blue Book here in Wineport Lodge back in 1999, which is a long time ago. And, you know, we were just a restaurant. We had aspiration to build on bedrooms at that time. We said, it wouldn't be great now, you know, if we build on the bedrooms and we can be in the Blue Book. Even as a restaurant in just outside Athlone in 1999, the year we joined, our business increased by 40%, which was a huge increase. So people who were customers were coming out and saying, oh, I see you're in the Blue Book. Well done. Congratulations. And then new people come in and said, oh, I see you're in the Blue Book. And that's why we've come. So it definitely enhanced the business. And if even only half of that increase was due from the Blue Book, it still showed the value of that membership.
You've lots of accolades here. And I mean, the food, of course, we mentioned again, it's you're really, really famous for that. People, I think, just drive down here.
Sure. And like, the accolades are great. And like, we love celebrating them. But, you know, equally as good is if somebody, you know, sends an email or puts a TripAdvisor up and saying, listen, you know, we had a super time. We were well looked after. Norman met us, you know, at the door. Or, you know, Brendan looked after us, you know, when we had a problem. And Cash looked after us in the restaurant. And Zara was down in the bar. And, you know, to hear those names that to us are like our business family, to hear the appreciation from people, like, that does give you great heart in terms of, this, you know, your the satisfaction for what you do.
Yeah, and I mean, must say, the Irish welcome and hospitality, I mean, it is interesting. It's so much alive. It's well and alive and well, should I say, here. Because
it's alive and well. And I suppose, you know, the fear I would have had, you know, that we were going to lose the Irishness in the Irish hospitality, because we've had to embrace in Ireland, you know, a huge multicultural society anyway. And what's great is, like, that multicultural you know, those people that have come into Ireland to work and to study and to live, you know, have embraced the Irish hospitality, and they're every bit as good at delivering it, you know, as the Irish natives are, and we've become better at it.
And going forwards now, Ray, are you hopeful for the future? I mean, I know there's a lot of people saying about they can't get staff now.
Sure,
and everyone's
sure.
on the pop and it's all
I know,
this kind,
yeah,
of, this kind
yeah.
of crazy.
Yeah, and hopefully like that's a blip. But certainly we would be very confident. And like I would think, you know, what we've seen in last year, you know, both here in Wineport Lodge and in tourism in Ireland generally, you know, when we saw how strongly the domestic market supported the Irish tourism product and they really embraced it, and we're seeing the same this year. My sense is that we're in for a very good couple of years in Ireland, and that all these kind of outdoor cafes and terraces and this land grab that's gone on from the public space, you know, that's not going to be given back all that easy. So I think most towns and villages that you're going to walk down for the next couple of years, you're going to feel, get that kind of cosmopolitan European feel, and we have to put on an extra jacket or, you know, wear a hat, so what? And I think that when the visitors do start coming back to Ireland, they're going to be so impressed as to how we've come out of the COVID thing and how we've dealt with it. I'm a glass half full person, and I would see, you know, the future is bright.
When you go out yourself and, you know, when you've a bit of time off, yep. which I'm sure you yep. do, what's your pet hates and what do you love?
What's our pet hates? What do we love? We don't have too many pet hates because generally people in hospitality, like, they're so easily pleased. Like, you know, you, if you went to a pal's house for dinner or something, they'd be nearly kind of nervous that they'd have to have a menu for you and a wine list, you know, whereas you're so delighted to have something handed to you, you know, and that isn't cold, that's been left for an hour that you couldn't get to it. So, you know, so pet hates will be few and far between. And I suppose in terms of what we love is, you know, you love going out somewhere and being the customer, because that gives you, that kind of fuels your energy, you know, that when you go back to your own business, you remember what it was like to be that customer and to be well looked after. And it gives you the incentive to go back and redouble your efforts.
Yeah, what was very interesting yesterday when I was on my little cycle trip around, there was we were just stopped trying to look. I was not lost, right? But yeah. I was a little bit confused. And people stopped and asked us, were we okay? Did we want directions for somewhere? And we passed a beautiful little church. I think it's a Benoon church.
Benoon, yeah.
Yeah, and there was a guy outside. He was cutting the grass and he asked us, would you like to come in and see the church inside? And mm-hmm. it was incredible. And we went in and he gave us the whole history of the church. And he showed us the different pews and, you know, how, you know, you were, if you had a bigger pew that you were
more special.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just thought it was really phenomenal. And, you know, it, just the friendliest thing, I think Noel Houston was the name of the yeah. guy who was there, and just gave us the whole history of the place. And there's a great history there of that church. But that was really, I mean, it was almost, I said, like, where would you get that?
Where would you get it? But you see, the great thing is you'll get it everywhere, because Irish people, you know, it is in our nature that we just want to connect. So, you know, it's great, you know, to know that it can happen. And most people, you know, in the street or whatever, you know, they're just waiting to be asked, you know, and they will respond. And like we've seen that in all kinds of crises, you know, there's a crisis, ask people. And we've all seen, you know, the big crisis and the small crisis, you know, you reach out for help and there's someone there. So it's to be able to, I suppose, within ourselves, this isn't just, you know, you see a church, you see something, you need help, ask for it, and then, you know, people will respond.
Yeah, and I mean, you obviously have passion for people, because you were chatting to all your customers yesterday,
yeah,
and you obviously
yeah.
get a great buzz out of it all.
A huge buzz, and it's great seeing people coming back. And of course, the longer you're here, you know, you see the kids growing up, and you see the ones who are, you know, sitting in the high chairs are now kind of planning their wedding celebrations, and that's all part of the fun.
Well, Ray, it's been a great pleasure to talk to you this evening, and it's been a great pleasure to spend time down here. I'll be back, as Arnold Schwarzenegger once said.
Great.
What have you chosen for us for your final piece of music this evening?
We're going to finish off with Thin Lizzy and Dancing in the Moonlight.
Brilliant. And just for anybody who wants to come down, can you just give us your website?
We're wineport.ie, and we'd love to see you.